You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LONBA, and you can get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase from SeatGeek. So as we chat on this Saturday, it's a bit of a transition period for the Rockets. They just wrapped up the Chris Paul celebration yesterday. That was his inaugural press conference, fan event at Toyota Center, great environment. They also announced the signing of Tarik Black to the biannual exception, a little over $3 million. He's going to replace Montrezl Harrell, essentially fill that third center role. So we'll talk about him in just a little bit. And we'll also touch on, of course, where things are with Carmelo. Things haven't dramatically changed in the past 24 hours since I laid out the lay of the land Friday morning. That was following the report that the Knicks were pausing talks. Haven't had too many extreme developments on that front since then, but there's been a couple, and so we'll talk about that on today's show as well. But I'll start with my recollections from the Chris Paul press conference, because if you're in Houston, boy, that was the event of the day. Over 6,000 Rockets fans came out to Toyota Center. Would have been more, but they actually started turning people away because they didn't have enough seats. They opened up the lower bowl for if they weren't going to open up the upper, just because they essentially ran out of manpower and personnel. That's part of the reason they did it on Friday rather than Saturday. I think they were hoping that doing it on a weekday afternoon, that maybe that would depress turnout enough to make it realistic. But Rockets fans are passionate. They turned out. Chris Paul was touched. His parents raved on and on about how great it was for their son. Then, of course, Chris went to the Astros game Friday night throughout the first pitch. Astros dominated the Twins. Just a great day for Houston sports, and Chris Paul in particular seemed to have a wonderful time. So if you were a part of that here in Houston, salute to you. It was a fabulous day in which Rockets fans represented and made themselves known very well about why this is a destination franchise that players such as Chris Paul should want to play for. As far as the press conference itself, nothing too shocking. If you've been around many introductions to stars, you kind of understand what they're going to say. And he did do the interview with Mark Spears of the Undefeated a few days ago, which made it not the first comment. So you had an idea of what he was going to say, but it was a new era. He said he's more excited for basketball than in a long time. And what made me the happiest, the most revealing quote, was that there hasn't been a day since the trade that he and James Harden have not talked. And, well, actually, I have a good feeling, even though they won't say it. I think Chris Paul and James Harden were in contact long before the trade as well on a daily basis. And that's a big part, of course, of how James was able to convince Chris to come to Houston. But I think that's big, because if anyone feared where James Harden's head is at following the way the playoffs ended, to convince Chris Paul, who is the ultimate competitor, as he said during the press conference, he's wired differently. To convince a guy with that many options across the league, that much of a competitor, that James is the guy that he wants to go on the journey with, that was Chris's phrase, on the journey with, I think it goes to show you that it's not just all talk from James. It's not just a matter of looking good to the media. Privately, behind closed doors, he's pretty committed to that too, because Chris isn't going to take it just at face value. I'm sure Chris wants plenty of examples. He wants to see the kind of man James is. And for Chris to have that degree of comfort with not just James Harden, the player, but James Harden, the man, I think that speaks really well to a guy who obviously the Rockets are investing in as the centerpiece of their franchise now through the year 2023. So that was the happiest part to me. The other part, as I wrote on sports790.com, that's the official website for Sports Talk 790, which is the flagship radio station of the Rockets. As I wrote, Chris can't outright say that he's going to re-sign in 2018. His contract is up after next year because he opted in. But you can tell the signs are there. Everything from him moving all of his extended family down to Houston, all the way to the way he's taken ownership and trying to get Carmelo Anthony here, and everything going else this summer, going on the rest of this summer, you can tell that this is not an experiment. He's committed to Houston. So my column on sports78.com, it's on my blog, Talking Rockets, is about how you can see through all of those signs that he's in it for the long haul. Also got a great quote from owner Les Alexander, who pointed out that nobody's left here because they wanted to leave here. And that was in direct response to someone who asked about the prospect of retaining Chris Paul in June 2018. And even though a lot of folks on Twitter were having some fun with that, I think it's accurate. Dwight Howard didn't leave because he wanted to leave. The Rockets have moved on from him, as evidenced by the hiring of Mike D'Antoni, which completely is the antithesis of how Dwight Howard wants to play. There were some reports about Lou Williams and Pat Beverly this summer, some kind of awkward tweets after their move. But again, that's after they were moved. Everyone has a little bit of bitterness once they're moved, especially in the immediate aftermath. The point that Les was making, and it's a fair one, there has never been a guy that the Rockets were willing to fully invest in that left. And some people even went back 3 years to point to Chandler Parsons. Well, no, I think it's pretty clear that Chandler Parsons hoped that the Rockets would match that contract from Dallas. The point is, the Rockets had a value limit on Parsons. They were not willing to offer him the max. And because of that, it's not the same as a situation like Chris Paul, where inevitably the Rockets are going to offer the max, the same as they have with James Harden. When the Rockets are willing to pull out all the stops to retain their own free agents, those guys typically stay. And so that's why there's a lot of confidence. Not that you need it, because, again, Chris would have been a free agent this summer. He already went through the process, and he chose the Rockets. So in less than a year for him to go through a complete upheaval of that, it would just take something catastrophic, something crazy. It wouldn't just be not getting to the Western Conference Finals. It would have to be something off the rails poor, and I just don't see that as a scenario worth worrying about. So that's my column on sports790.com. That was my main takeaway from Chris. In addition to all the stuff about James, you can tell that everything from his words all the way down to his family moving down here. And oh, Chris also mentioned he didn't go into it because, again, he's going to be very cagey about what he says about the process, because technically he cannot or he could not be in official contact with the Rockets before July 1st since he wasn't a free agent. So he's got to be very guarded in what he says. But he mentioned that him opting into that one-year deal helped out both teams, not just the Clippers, but the Rockets as well. He didn't specify what that meant because, again, he's not going to get Daryl Morey or anyone else with the Rockets in trouble with any kind of tampering charge. But what he meant by that is what I've spelled out on this podcast before. By opting in, he's making $24 million rather than $35. That helps significantly with flexibility. It's given the Rockets room under the hard cap to go after the likes of Carmelo Anthony. And then beyond that, by doing it before free agency, the Rockets were able to stay above the cap. That's what gave them the full mid-level exception to use on P.J. Tucker and Joe Chi. So, in essence, yeah, he's under contract for 1 year, but the truth of it is he's planning to be here a lot longer. Chris Paul chose the Rockets and James Harden as a long-term partnership, not a 1 year. And so that was my biggest takeaway from his words at the event yesterday. Other than that, folks, I just loved how well Rockets fans represented yesterday. It is an incredibly passionate fan base. I know a lot of people around the league love to rip on Rockets fans because of the lack of excitement in the lower bowl at Toyota Center, and I'm sure there are some steps they can take to improve that. We've had Tad Brown on this show before, and he's spoken about the potential of moving the game times from 7 to 7:30, for instance. That's something they're looking at. But there are, I would say, most teams in the NBA that suffer through this exact same situation. You're trying to walk a very thin line between trying to monetize those lower bowl seats as best you can, because when you sell to corporations at these high prices, that's a big part of how you're able to retain James Harden and Chris Paul for these $200 million plus contracts. That money's going to come from somewhere. So you're trying to walk that line. However, you're also trying to put the best environment forward for the advantage of your team and, of course, reward the loyal fans in your city. And so that yesterday, people were willing to wait hours in 100-degree heat outside. And, you know, this wasn't even a game. This was just a 15-minute availability with Chris Paul in basically a roundtable session on the stage. That's how much Rockets fans care. This is a great fan base. I know that sometimes when you see these tips on TV at 7 p.m., especially if it's a little bit of an early start, you see some empty seats in the lower bowl at Toyota Center, and people, you know, love to rip on the Rockets, and there's a few other teams that do that as well. Part of it just comes with the territory of being in the third largest city in the United States. Well, Houston's about to pass Chicago for that, but third or fourth largest city in the United States. There's a lot of traffic. You're never going to be able to be perfect because you have to balance a fine line between rewarding your fans, the best atmosphere, and also getting that corporate money so that you can put the best basketball players on the floor that you can. It's a very delicate line to walk. But on the whole, the fan base is really, really good. I can tell you it was not just words. The people around Chris Paul yesterday, his family, they were absolutely touched. The city of Houston, it has a great diehard basketball fan base. I would say sports as a whole, baseball and football fans here, are great as well, and that's part of what makes Houston a great destination city. Sure, there are a lot of really nice teams, but the culture, the fan base, I'm sorry, in my opinion, it's different than the LA Clippers. It is really passionate here, and so if you needed any extra thing to make you confident in retaining Chris Paul and players like him over the long haul, I think the fans are a big part of it, because anybody that spends time here, yeah, if you watch an occasional game on TV, you might see a few empty seats that tip off in the, you know, the club sections at Toyota Center, but when you spend time here, you realize this is a great fan base. They're extremely passionate, and that's why Les Alexander is right. Players don't like to leave here once they come here, because this is a really, really special community. Now, I'll get back in just a minute to my thoughts on Carmelo, and then we'll transition to Tarik Black, the signing the Rockets actually made yesterday, as opposed to the Carmelo speculation. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our wonderful sponsors over at SeatGeek, because without them, we wouldn't be able to bring this show to you on such a frequent basis. If you try and buy tickets for any major event, and certainly the Rockets with Chris Paul and James Harden are going to be a major event, you guys know that a lot of times you're going to have to use those secondary market sources, because it's tough to buy from the box office, and even if you can, dynamic pricing makes it really hard. Yesterday, I went to the Astros-Twins game last night as a fan. That was when Chris Paul threw out the first pitch. I took one look at the box office prices. Ridiculous. And I ended up going to SeatGeek and actually using my promo code. And you can go to any secondary market site, but among those, to me, SeatGeek is by far the best. They've got mobile ticketing within the app. Every ticket is guaranteed. They cross-compare websites so you know you're getting the best deal. And they also grade every ticket 1 to 100 so you know you're getting the best bang for your buck as well. But the best part of it, in addition to the simplicity of the app, the cross-comparisons, the lowest prices, all that kind of stuff, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, you guys also get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase from SeatGeek. And to get it, it's so easy. Just download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LONBA. From there, SeatGeek will send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA today. One final note that I will throw in on that, they're transitioning from what used to be our old promo code LO Rockets to LONBA because that's for the Locked On Rockets, Locked On Podcast Network as a whole, the entire NBA channel. There are some outdated versions of the website and app that if you haven't fully updated, I've heard that LONBA may not work. If it doesn't, you can just use LO Rockets. But LONBA should be the code for you now. If it doesn't, try LO Rockets. But LONBA, LO Rockets, whatever it is, you can get a $20 rebate courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Now, jumping back into the show, there's basically two things to discuss from here. There's what we know and what we don't know. And I know what we don't know is a little sexier, so, you know, let's start with that. Let's start with Carmelo. There aren't any new rumors, so to speak, since we talked on Friday morning. I think all of my commentary there stands. However, we've had some affirmation since then, most notably from the New York Daily News, that the way we laid it out is accurate, and specifically that Carmelo is willing to draw a hard line in the sand, that he still wants to go to Houston. He has no interest in returning to New York, and that's big because with a no-trade clause, if he holds strong, he knows that the Knicks have more to lose. The Knicks, they announced the hiring of Scott Perry as their new GM yesterday. Now, of course, he is going to report to Steve Mills, so it's not an upheaval. The ultimate decision-maker is still the same. But as part of the announcement, the Knicks put out a press release saying that they're committed basically to rebuilding younger players, defense, et cetera, et cetera. None of that would seem to fit a 33-year-old Carmelo Anthony. So I think it's pretty clear that those reports Thursday nights were nothing more than PR about trying to reincorporate Carmelo into the organization. The real truth of the matter is just trying to have a conversation with him and see if they can get him to expand his list of teams. that's their due diligence. You can't blame them for doing that. But as I said then, and I feel even more strongly now after seeing the anonymous reports to Carmelo in the New York Daily News story, there's no reason for Carmelo to do that. With a no-trade clause, with a player option next summer, he holds the leverage. The Knicks gave him that leverage. So there's no reason for him to do them a favor, especially when the Knicks were insistent for most of the past couple of weeks that he was going to get traded to Houston. So I don't know why he would do that organization a favor. So when you hear Carmelo holding his ground like that, that's a really good sign. Again, does it mean the Knicks will necessarily go back to the table immediately? I don't know. There was a report late last night from David Aldridge of NBA.com, longtime veteran reporter, that he thinks it's days, not weeks. He could see the Knicks within, say, by early next week, getting back to the table. That was not him saying anything sourced. That was just his guess. He does know Perry and Mills fairly well. So I would say that's encouraging, but again, it's not like he's saying he's got a source saying that. I will say the folks around the Rockets, and I would guess the other teams involved in this deal as well, they're a little dismayed by the Knicks pulling out so abruptly. We also heard, I don't know if it was the Rockets, the Daily News sourced one of the four teams involved in the trade as saying that they were bothered by what was going on. And from what I can figure out, the Rockets are not counting on this being resolved imminently. I think they do still believe that Carmelo is eventually going to come to Houston, but they're not just checking their phone every hour to see if there's a text or call or email from Mills or James Dolan or anybody else in New York. They're moving on. They're doing things such as the signing of Tarik Black, and if and when the Knicks get back to them, they'll deal with that when that happens. They think that it'll happen because Carmelo wants to be in Houston, and with that no-trade clause, it's not like it can really work out anywhere else. But I don't think the teams around it, they're frustrated by the Knicks pulling out, but they're not acting under the assumption that the Knicks are going to come back to the table imminently. They're prepared that it could be longer, it could be weeks or even a month or two. Hope it's not, but that's what the players are the teams are prepared for. And I think part of that is just because when it comes to dealing with the Knicks, you just have to be prepared for those scenarios. You never want to count on the Knicks to do the logical thing, or else you're going to feel let down. And maybe, you know, if you want to look at it optimistically, maybe this is a case for the Knicks, now that they have a new GM in place, to surprise everyone in a positive sense, to go out and deal with this sooner rather than later. Because the old Knicks, yeah, they would drag this out and let it be a circus, and I think that's what some of the teams involve. That's why, you know, there's some frustration among the Rockets and sounds like one of the other teams in the deal as well. The old Knicks, yeah, you've got to assume that this could go on for a while and they don't really know what they're doing. Maybe the Knicks, in this case with the new GM, do want to make a statement that, hey, we're going to move on, and they get back to this now that they have a new GM within a couple of days. We'll have to wait and see. But as far as what limited report we had yesterday, that's good, because what you want to hear immediately is a leak from someone in Carmelo's camp that he has no interest in staying, no interest in expanding his list, and that's pretty much what that New York Daily News story says. He doesn't want to stay, and he wants to finalize a trade to the Houston Rockets. So, in addition to not wanting to stay in New York, he's also not open to expanding his list. He wants exactly what the Knicks promised him, which is that trade to Houston, and that's exactly what Carmelo should do if he wants this thing to happen. The other interesting thing, and this was from the press conference, it's very interesting. People asked Chris Paul about who he's going to play with in Houston. Mentioned Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, obviously James Harden, mentioned Eric Gordon, even mentioned Bobby Brown, who he was teammates with in New York, and we know Bobby's everybody's favorite recruiting coordinator. One guy that Chris never mentioned, Ryan Anderson. And when the fan rally, when he came out to the court at Toyota Center to meet those 6,000 fans, they had a highlight video of him throwing out dishes to various Rockets, essentially syncing his Clippers highlights with various lobs and three-pointers from the Rockets last year. One guy that was never shown in that highlight clip, Ryan Anderson. So the Rockets, there was definitely not a tone that they have moved on. Because if you move on, you know, Ryan would be your third highest paid player on the team, behind only Chris and James. So if he was going to be there, yeah, you'd have people saying, hey, he's a part of that core, and there was no talk of that at all. I think there's frustration, but they know the underlying framework that Carmelo wants to be in Houston, and so because of that, while there is frustration, I don't think anyone is ready to consider the possibility that he's not going to come. I think everyone still views this as almost inevitable. It's just a matter of, is it days, is it weeks, is it a couple of months? No one really knows. That depends on the Knicks, and we'll see what happens now that they have another voice in the room in Scott Perry. But the bottom line, as long as Carmelo wants to go in Houston and he's willing to hold his ground, and he's not on the record yet, but that story to the New York Daily News is pretty strong, the anonymous sourcing and what Frank Cazzola quotes them as saying, that's pretty encouraging as far as Carmelo ultimately getting to Houston. Now, the last item, we mentioned it briefly earlier, but the Rockets, they're not just going to sit around waiting for Carmelo, because whether Carmelo comes or not, if he does, it's a one-for-one move. You still have the rest of the roster to fill out. They're looking for ways to add more bigs, more guards, because until yesterday, they just had eight players that they could really, truly trust in that rotation. Well, as you guys know, they added one more yesterday in Tarik Black. He was a Rocket in the 2014-2015 season briefly, but 6 points, 5 rebounds with the LA Lakers in 16 minutes per game last season. Just 25 years old, hardworking young kid, has a great rapport here in Houston. When he was here 3 seasons ago, 2014-2015, so basically 2.5, his locker was next to James Harden. They were good friends. They got along great on the court. He was a beast in the pick and roll game. He's 6'9", so he's slightly undersized, but he has a very long wingspan at 7'3". Also, unlike Montrezl Harrell, he rebounds well. Again, 5 rebounds in 16 minutes. That's much better than what Montrez could do. He gives you a lot of the upside of Montrez in terms of a big who can play that pick and roll, finish in traffic, but he's a better rebounder. He's longer, and he's just an ideal sighting. The one thing that did raise a few eyebrows for the Rockets, use their biannual exception on him. That's the $3.2 million rather than as a minimum signing. And in the past, Daryl Morey has said that he probably planned on rolling that biannual exception into the season. But the thing with Daryl, it's always subject to change. I don't think he's, you know, openly lying when he said on the Bill Simmons podcast and others that he planned on rolling that biannual into the season. But it's a matter of, you look at the values that are on the market now, and it's pretty clear there's less money being spent in free agency this summer than most expected. You look at the rest of the landscape. Jonathan Simmons, a guy that people thought could easily get $10 million or so a year after a great playoff run in San Antonio, went for 3 for $20 in Orlando, a bad team. Typically, you have to get overpaid even more to go somewhere like that. So you can tell that a lot of GMs around the league are wary of the cap going down in the next couple of years. I think that's also part of the problem the Rockets have had in offloading Ryan Anderson and or Myers Leonard in these Carmelo scenarios. So as much as Daryl has talked about rolling over the biannual into the season for potential buyout targets, he's always looking for values. And if you get the right value point, then he's willing to spend resources to improve the team now. And Tarik Black, again, a 25-year-old who's a proven, capable big man, seems ideal for this system based on his previous history here with James Harden. Again, just 25 years old. Guys like that do not sign for the minimum. You had to go a little more. For a talented young big, the minimum is just not going to cut it. And a lot of folks say, well, on the depth chart, he's your third string center now after Clint Capela and Nene. Folks, there's no such thing as a third-string center after Nene. You know they're going to be at least 20 games, and that's even if there are no injuries. There's going to be at least 20 games that Nene doesn't play. There are also certain matchups when it's dependent on athleticism that may not be suited for his particular style. But Montrezl Harrell, if you watch the Rockets, not just in the playoffs, but the regular season, he played a very key role for the Rockets in the regular season. There is no way they win 55 games without Montrezl Harrell. It is a grind to get through 82 games, and so, yeah, if you're that, quote, third-string center behind Nene, you're not a third string yet. At worst, you're, you know, 2.5, I would call it, because there are a lot of nights Nene is going to sit. There are also going to be other matchups that just may not be that favorable for Nene, especially if it's the regular season and he's trying to, you know, conserve some energy for the playoffs. Nene, at this point in his career, he's a playoff signing. You're going to get him some minutes in the regular season, of course, but you're trying to manage him as best you can. So Tarik Black, yeah, he's not a third stringer. You may as well call him a co-second stringer with Nene. It's a big need. That's why the Rockets wanted to keep Montrezl Harrell. And as Daryl Morey said, they didn't throw him into the Chris Paul trade until the last minute when it became clear it was absolutely necessary to make the math work to get Chris Paul to Houston. So it's a big need. It's more than the minimum. But again, he's a good value. He's someone that they really trust. He's been here before. He's got upside potential. He seems to fit the system like a glove. About the only nitpick you could throw out is a 6'9", but unlike Montrezl Harrell, he's actually really long on top of it. I think the wingspan, as I said, is 7'3". So he's a pretty ideal fit for that third big. I don't necessarily think it was a reflection of Chinonu Anuaku's performance in the Summer League, which has been mixed. Now, you do have to remember that Anuaku sprained his ankle pretty badly in day one of Summer League, but I don't think the Rockets are overreacting to three or four Summer League games. I think it just comes down to a value proposition. And once someone that they really valued at a probably much higher than that level became available for 1 year at the biannual exception, you've just got to bite the bullet and do it, because that third big is a need for the Rockets. And like I said, it doesn't really tie into Carmelo at all, because you're going to need that third big no matter what when your backup is Nene. That's just the way it is. The other thing to keep in mind with it, I know now you're not going to have your biannual exception to roll over into the season. Daryl Morey mentioned potential to use it on buyouts, targets midseason. But first off, you never know who's going to get bought out. If you see someone who can upgrade your team now, you don't want to not upgrade on a maybe what you might can do in the future. If you see someone that can make your team better today, you don't just hold it for the abstract possibility of tomorrow. You do what you can to upgrade your team now. The other thing is that we saw at the deadline last year, the Rockets had more money for Andrew Bogut. He went to Cleveland. Deron Williams also went to Cleveland. Both of those guys at the minimum. So more often than not, the types of buyouts that happen are typically very veteran players, and for players of that stature, I'm not going to say the biannual exception isn't important, but they're playing for an enormous discount anyway. So the driving factor for them isn't going to be money. It's going to be how good your team is, and can they win a ring? Do they feel like you are contending? So while that biannual exception wouldn't hurt, at the same time, the Rockets, their ability to be a player in the buyout market, the biggest factor for that is going to be just how many wins they get, and if come February they're seen as, you know, a true challenger to the Warriors and a team that can win a ring. If they are, then even if they just have the minimum to offer, I think Cleveland the last couple of years proves that you can still get that done. In a perfect world, I think you would also have the biannual exception, but as I said, I don't think it's the driving force. I think the driving force is your contention, so it makes it a little tougher, but at the same time, if you can get a big that you really like now that's very young, fits your scheme, all that kind of stuff, I think it's a small price to pay when the alternative is actually filling a rotation role. So I would have loved to have get Tarik Black at the minimum and kept that biannual exception, but I just don't think that was reasonable. Tarik's a proven big in the NBA with upside. I think you had to go above the minimum to get him, and I would rather use that biannual exception on someone I know is going to make my team better than just hold it over and blind hope that maybe in February someone comes available and that biannual exception makes the difference. I would have loved to have kept it, but if push comes to shove, yeah, Tarik Black fixed this system well. They need a third big. He's proven he can do it. Yeah, let's just go ahead and spend it. Great signing for the Rockets. I never really considered him an option because I would even have thought going into the summer that he'd be available at the biannual level. I thought he would be at least a $5, $6 million a year player. But again, the theme of this summer is teams are getting more stingy. They are worried about that cap contracting. You are not seeing the types of deals that we saw last summer, the types of overpays. So there are guys that are available that you would not have thought have been available just a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's why Tarik Black makes sense for the Rockets. Now, all that said, I do think some people are going too far. I've seen a few tweets, people on Clutch Fans wondering, does it make Clint Capella expendable? And I think the real reason for that is there are some Knicks fans engaging in some serious wishful thinking about what they're going to get for Carmelo. And my response to that, no. No, let's not get crazy. Tarik Black's a good fit as, basically a co-backup center alongside Nene, but this is a guy who played 16 minutes a game with the Lakers. You're not ready to start him, and you're certainly not ready to start Nene, who it was a struggle to get him through just 60 or so games at 20 minutes per game last year. Clint Capella is the only guy you can trust to go out and play starting quality minutes in the middle. He is huge for this team, and then you add in, obviously, his synergies on the pick and roll with James Harden and Chris Paul. Clint is enormously important to the Rockets, and while Tarik Black is a nice depth signing, he's not the kind of move that frees you up to trade Clint Capella, not at all. Clint is enormous to this team, and I know folks want Carmelo, but don't get caught up in the name. I want Carmelo because when you're looking at essentially a one-for-one swap in the rotation of Carmelo for Ryan Anderson, he does a lot of the same things, but he gives you more upside. But Carmelo is not a perfect player. He's 33 years old. He could leave next summer. His efficiency's taken a big hit. He's not the guy he was even 2 or 3 years ago. There has been some slippage, and yeah, he's not in a great situation in New York. But other it is just, you know, the cost of time. He's 33 years old. He's past his prime, and it happens to a lot of players at that age. So yeah, I would love Carmelo here if he's replacing Ryan Anderson. I think he's a great fit. But let's not get carried away. I don't think he is a superstar at this point in his NBA career in terms of impact. And the reason I mention that is I would honestly say that even if and when the Carmelo deal gets consummated, I still think Clint Capela is going to be a more valuable player to the Rockets next year than Carmelo Anthony is. I don't think that's a stretch. Now, Carmelo is still very important because I think his upside relative to Ryan Anderson gives you more potential as far as at least giving you a puncher's chance against the Golden State Warriors. That's why it's a big deal. But Clint, his upside is enormous, but even if we say he doesn't take a big leap, just the guy he was last year, you factor in the lack of other options in the middle, you factor in his ability to make an impact on both the offense and defense sides of the floor, you look at how Chris Paul should only make him an even more viable threat in the lob game on the pick and rolls. To me, Clint's impact on both sides, offense, defense, his importance in the middle, the lack of other options the Rockets have, to me, Clint alone is going to be a more important player than Carmelo Anthony next year. So no, there's no way that the Rockets throw in a very young Clint Capela, almost 10 years younger than Carmelo Anthony, just to get a deal done because of the name Carmelo. The Rockets want him because, relative to Ryan Anderson, if you can make that one-for-one swap, yeah, it makes you a lot better. But they're not crazy. The Rockets do not think that Carmelo is some star that's just going to, the three alone is going to take down the Warriors. If you have CP3, Carmelo, and James, then that's enough. No, they don't think that. Because if they did, this deal would have been done 2 weeks ago if they were willing to trade other guys, Ariza, Gordon, and those guys are less important than Capela. Capela, again, because of his youth, because of his placement in the middle, he is enormously important to this team. To me, even if you add Carmelo, Clint is still the third most valuable, the third most important piece on the roster after James and Chris, and I'm pretty sure Daryl Morey feels the same way. So Tarik Black, he's a nice signing because he fills that third big role, gives you another option to kind of manage Nene and offset any injury or rest limitations there, but no, he does not free you up to move Clint Capela at all. Clint Capela is enormously important, and even one for one, I would not move Clint Capela for Carmelo, and I know that's not possible because they have wildly different salaries, but I'm just saying that's how important Clint is. So while Tarik Black is a nice signing, no, it does not make Clint Capela even a fraction more available in trade talks with the Knicks or anyone else. I'm pretty confident that Clint is off the board entirely, because even if you have CP3, James, and Carmelo, the Rockets are still underdogs to the Warriors. Now, there'd be an upside scenario where they would have a puncher's chance, but they're not there yet. The Rockets would still need either another addition down the line or someone to take a leap. And as Daryl Morey has said, on the current roster, the guy who's best positioned to maybe potentially develop into a fringe all-star level player is Capela. So that's why he's important to keep, is that in this era of the NBA, Chris, James, Carmelo, that's still not enough. You need either the perfect chemistry or someone else to kind of make that jump into stardom. And Clint, by far, is your best option on the current roster to do that. So I just cannot fathom a scenario where the Rockets commit to this Chris, James, and Carmelo core and don't have Clint Capela, because without Clint Capela, even with those three, that's great. It's a lot of big names and they'll sell tickets, but you don't have a chance to compete with the Warriors. You need Clint in the middle to, well, at a bare minimum, take up a lot of those minutes at the center spot, but beyond that, hopefully continue to develop and maybe take a leap into being something close to a fourth star. And I guess even if he doesn't, then maybe down the line, because Clint's under club control, going from his first contract to the next, he'd be a restricted free agent. Even if Clint doesn't fully take the leap himself, then down the line, he's potentially a trade chip next summer or at the deadline for a fourth star. Now, you'd have to, you know, make salaries match, and that gets complicated. But the point is, be it Clint developing into a star himself or even using him as trade bait. Now, again, it's tough because if you have Chris, James, and Carmelo, you'd almost have to have that star in the middle, because otherwise you'd have a big vacancy and you'd have too many duplicate skill sets, in my opinion. But the point is, the overwhelmingly likely scenario, because James loves Clint, the Rockets organization loves Clint, he works his butt off, he's a good player, he's only gotten better every year. I think Clint develops into a fringe star candidate, just like Daryl said. I believe in Clint. I think he takes that step. I think he earns a big contract in Houston, and hopefully that's enough to give the Warriors a real run. But even if he doesn't, then just Clint's presence as a young player with a lot of potential, a center that is essentially a two-way impact player, then he's your trade chip for somebody else. If he alone isn't able to make that trio of Chris, James, and Carmelo get over the hump. But either way, be it as a player, as an asset, any way you want to look at it, Clint Capella is essential to the Rockets taking the next step. So I don't foresee any scenario where he could go out in a Carmelo Anthony trade, because if you do that, yeah, you've got three big stars that will sell tickets, but that in and of itself is not enough to beat the Warriors, and you have no real upward mobility from there. Because Clint, again, through either elevating his own play or maybe even as a trade ship down the line, there's potential there. Whereas if you just move him, there's nothing. So Tariq Black, he's a nice signing, but let's not get carried away. He's a nice signing because it helps you manage Dene and it gives you that third proven big to feel confident in, the same way they had in Montrezl Harrell for most of last season. It does not change the outlook for Clint Capella at all. And as I said earlier, I don't think it's necessarily a reflection of Chinonu Onuwaku. I don't think they're overreacting to, you know, mixed reviews at the Summer League. I think it's a matter of Onuwaku's unproven, and when you have Chris Paul added to James Harden, very possibly Carmelo Anthony as well, you don't want to what if and say, well, we think Chinonu Onuwaku is ready. If you have someone who can step in more immediately, yeah, you do it. This is not a time that you experiment with the roster the Rockets have right now. And I guess one small upside, it might make Onuwaku more available in a trade for the Knicks, because now that you have someone other than Clint Capella, another young big that you like. Now, of course, I realize that Tariq is just on a one-year contract, but now that you have at least two bigs that you like that are young, then maybe that makes Onuwaku even more available as a sweetener for the Knicks or any other team in that package, if there's some reservations about taking the contract of Ryan Anderson, Myers Leonard, or any other controversial contract that may have to be moved to make the math work in that potential deal. Anyway, I'll wrap it there because I think that's enough for one Saturday. We don't usually do podcasts on Saturday, but with yesterday's big event in Houston, felt like we really had to. Again, if you were a big part of that, I salute you so much. I think that made a huge difference, getting those 6,000-plus fans to Toyota Center. That really makes an impression on not just Chris Paul, but his entire family and the NBA community. When people see that on NBA TV, on SportsCenter, all of the highlight shows, YouTube, et cetera, that really cements Houston's legacy, and I'm so proud of the Rockets fan base. Obviously, I know you guys well, just seeing the kind of response I get to this show here on a daily basis, but beyond that, this is a wonderful fan base, and I think it made a big impression, not just on Chris, but people around the NBA, seeing that many people come out on a hot summer day just to welcome Chris Paul for 15 or so minutes. That was really, really cool. And so once again, salute to you guys for that. And that's part of why I wanted to do this show today, because if you guys care that much, obviously you guys are very passionate about what's being said at that press conference and what your Rockets are doing this summer. So of course that I'm sure a lot of the people there are listeners to me here. So once again, thank you so much. I'm sure the Rockets thank you, and certainly I do as well as a host of this program. If you're not already following me on Twitter, you can do so at Ben Dubose. Also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, or email the show, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA, and you can get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. As I said earlier, if LONBA doesn't work, there are a few outdated apps where I've heard some problems with, then use the promo code LO Rockets. But either way, LONBA, LO Rockets, that should get you a $20 rebate off of your SeatGeek purchase. So with that said, I hope everybody goes out and has a wonderful weekend. It's going to be busy on the Rockets front again. James Harden, after signing his massive extension last weekend, he was in Vegas for the Summer League, and then he was in Phoenix for his basketball camps. This is the first time he's been back to Houston, so there's going to be a media availability later this morning with James to talk about his new deal, his commitment in Houston. I'm sure his thoughts on Chris. I'm sure Carmelo will come up, but he'll dodge the question just as Chris did in the press conference yesterday. But if James says anything, stay tuned to me on Twitter. And, of course, the show Locked On Rockets will recap that. And then, hopefully, early next week, even if trade discussions don't reboot immediately between the Rockets and the Knicks, I would think that there would at least be some sort of leak because, again, the Knicks, they've got their GM. They've got a stated willingness now to build around young players, defense. None of that describes a 33-year-old Carmelo Anthony. So whether it's restarting talks with the Rockets or other leagues, there should be at least some momentum on that front, I would think, starting relatively soon because he clearly doesn't fit in what they want, and it's in everybody's best interest to get that process moving so that everyone can be done with this awkward situation sooner rather than later. But I doubt that happens today. I think everybody's taking a little bit of time to regroup, so go out, enjoy your Saturday, and I look forward to talking with you guys again in a day or two, hopefully, as some of these Carmelo rumors heat up. For now, though, have a good day. Talk to you all soon.